Second service, good morning. Hey, can y'all just give a round of applause for the worship band? Man, the past 2 weeks, I mean, they kill it every Sunday, but the past 2 weeks have been crazy. But guys, hey, you made it. You made it to church on Labor Day weekend, so give yourself a round of applause, okay? That's an accomplishment, three-day weekend. Man, guys, we're so excited that you're joining us here at Paul Ann. Thank you, Willie. I appreciate you, man. Guys, if you're joining us online too, man, we appreciate you guys being here. Guys, if we've never had the chance to meet before, man, my name is Braden Harris, or some of you guys know me as Pastor B, because CJ has dubbed me that nickname. And so, man, like I said, we're super excited that you're here. I have the opportunity of being our associate youth pastor, so I get to serve alongside Pastor CJ and pour into the next generation through your middle school and high school students. And so I just kind of want to start off and just say thank you on behalf of myself and my family, because we moved to San Angelo just 5 months ago, and all of you guys have been so accepting and just loving. And so, man, I just want to say thank you so much to everybody that has come up and talked to my wife and I and poured into us. And so just thank you so much. But I know you guys probably don't know me very well, so I just kind of want to give you guys a little bit about who I am and who my family is. And so, like I said, my name is Braden. I'm from North Central Texas. Okay, I'm from a small town called Sanger, and I had an opportunity to go play football in Odessa, so I played a little bit of college football. And while I was there, I met my beautiful wife, and her picture is going to pop up here in just a second. There she is. Boom. Yeah. You can, yes, please clap for that. She is definitely the better half in our marriage. And then you can't see his face, but that is our 8-month little boy. His name is Boone, and he's like the best thing that has ever happened to us. And so, like I said, super thankful to be here. But today we're here to talk about Jesus, amen? Okay, but before we get started, okay, I want you guys to laugh at me for just a second, okay? I want to tell you guys a little story about me whenever I was a freshman in high school. And so whenever I was like growing up, Sanger kind of imagined Miles, okay, as the town, okay? It was super small, everybody knew everybody, but football was a really big thing in my town. So I started playing football growing up whenever I was super little, and then whenever I got into like middle school, I got pretty good. Okay, so whenever I was graduating middle school, I guess you could say, and moving up into high school, my coaches had told me, they were like, hey man, there's an opportunity for you to play on JV or varsity. And so here I am, little 8th grade Braden, I'm like, I'm playing varsity. Haven't even stepped foot in high school yet. But I was like, I'm playing on varsity, like that's what I'm doing. So I'll never forget, it was our first day of 2-a-days, and if you know anything about football, there's like an acclimation period, okay? And so basically you don't just get to throw on pads and all that stuff and hit the first day. There's like a week that you have to go through. So the first day is just helmets, right? So we go out, it's early in the morning, it's like 7 o'clock, and I'm like, I'm not even gonna lie to you, I'm tired. And so I'm sitting there, and I got my helmet on, and we're going out there, and we're supposed to be doing 50% walkthroughs. It's the first like period of the day. And so I'm getting down there and I'm lined up and there's this offensive lineman. He's on varsity. I'm playing with JV at the time. His name was Blake, okay? And then 50% walkthroughs, I'm there. I'm like a zombie, half asleep. And the ball snaps. And I kid you not, Blake fires off the ball, picks me up. My little feet are dangling, okay? And he throws me into the ground. And just to be a jerk, he dove on top of me, okay? And I will never forget this. He stood over the top of me just like this. I kid you not. He said, stay in your lane, little boy. And here I am, basically still an 8th grader. And there's a tear coming out of my eye. And there's turf all over me. And I realized in that moment that I was not ready to play with the big dogs yet. So here's why I tell you that story. Here's the thing. Is I was prideful. And I got humbled, right? I think a lot of us adults in this room can we all get this. Sometimes life humbles you, amen? I was prideful and I got humbled. I stepped out of my lane. And so if you're taking notes today and if you like titles of sermons and different things like that, man, that's gonna be the title of today's sermon. It's gonna be Stay in Your Lane. Stay in Your Lane. See, this whole story is about pride, and I thought I was better than I was, and I got humbled. And I think this is something we can all relate to, because here's the thing. We're all prideful in our own special way. Okay, I know some of you guys are sitting there, and you're like, I don't think I'm prideful. Man, we are. We can be prideful as parents. We can think that our kid is the best kid and they never do anything wrong and they're amazing. We can think that our kid is the best at their sport. Like, man, those kids don't even compare to my kid. Man, we can be prideful in our workplace. We could think, man, I can do my boss's job better than he can. Man, we could be prideful in the way that we look. We could be prideful in the way that we portray ourselves. We could be prideful in the way that we communicate to people. We could be prideful with the way we spend our money. We could be prideful with what we post on social media. Man, we all are prideful in some way. And I know, like, you could even ask my wife, this is the number one thing that I struggle with, okay? At one point, I was the most prideful man on earth. And I was so prideful that I dubbed myself the most prideful man on earth. It's something that I really struggle with. But here's the thing. Some of you guys might be sitting there and you're like, okay, Brayden, what is this lane? What's our lane? You're talking, you're stay in your lane. What does that even mean? Here's the thing. God calls us to live a life of sacrifice and humility. God calls us to be humble and he calls us to sacrifice our life for his glory. That's our lane. Whenever we're running this race, whenever we're doing all of these things, man, that's the number one goal, is to glorify God. So whenever we're running this race and whenever we're in this lane, man, that's what we're doing. We're living a humble life because God calls us to live in humility and sacrifice with him. And see, here's the thing. Whenever a track runner, whenever they're running like a 100-meter dash, okay, if that runner steps out of his lane, he gets disqualified. Okay, and that's what happens whenever we let our pride creep in. That's what happens whenever we disobey God. Whenever we step out of our lane, we're disobeying God because he calls us to live with humility and he calls us to sacrifice our life for him. But don't just take my word for it, man. We're going to dive in and see what God has to say about this. So today we're actually going to be taking a look at a man in the Old Testament that pleased God. So for like 99.9% of his life, he did what was pleasing to God. He feared the Lord, and he was a successful warrior, and he was a successful city builder, but he stepped out of his lane. He let his pride creep in, and God humbled him. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. It's in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We're going to be taking a look at King Uzziah, okay? And this might not be a scripture some of you guys are super familiar with, okay? So I'm going to give you guys a little bit of context while y'all are flipping over to it. And so in this time period, okay, we're past David's reign, we're past Solomon's reign. Elijah has already gone up into heaven. And in this time period, Israel and Judah are in a battle. They're in a war. Okay, so that's kind of the context of what we're in. And Judah is located just north of Israel. And here's the thing. Uzziah was only 16 years old whenever he became king. Okay, his dad, Amaziah, died by the king, Jehoash, the king of Israel. Okay, so they were in this war. The king of Israel killed his dad and he became king. And here's the thing. Uzziah reigned for 52 years in total. And so if you know anything about the Old Testament, that's a pretty long time for a king to have God's favor to reign for over 50 years. And so, like I said, King Uzziah did what was pleasing to the Lord and in most of his life until the very end. And King Uzziah was a great military mind. Okay, King Uzziah was a guy who would go out, he would start wars, he would finish wars, he was super successful, okay? And also, he was a phenomenal, like, defender, okay? He built up Judah's defenses, he equipped their army with armor and spears and all of this thing, and he was so successful that he almost became famous, okay? He had people coming from all over the world that would come and basically pay tribute to him, and it said, like, his name was known in Egypt and all over this part. And so here's the thing. I know that doesn't sound super, like, crazy to us, but just imagine it like this. This dude was like the Tom Brady of war, okay? He did not have enough hands for how many rings he won because he was so good at what he did. But here's the thing. King Uzziah was a great man. He was powerful. He was like a forceful military mind. But here's the thing. Is he started to believe it too. He started to believe that he was great and amazing. And we're going to pick up in verse 16, and we're going to kind of walk through King Uzziah's downfall. So 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 16 through 21, it says this, "But when he had become powerful, he also became proud.
which led to his downfall. He sinned against the Lord, his God, by entering the sanctuary of the Lord's temple and personally burning incense on the incense altar. And we're going to see in just a second, this is a big no-no, okay? So Azariah, the high priest, went in after him with 80 other priests of the Lord, all brave men. And they confronted King Uzziah and said, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is the work of the priests alone, the descendants of Aaron, who are set apart for this work. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have sinned, and the Lord God will not honor you for this." We see in verse 19, Uzziah, who was holding an incense burner, became furious, and as he was standing there raging at the priest before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy suddenly broke out on his forehead. I want to stop right here for just a second. If you don't know what leprosy is, okay, leprosy is basically like this bacterial disease that was like prominent back in the day. Basically, you're like, you swelled up, your face got deformed, you had all these like lesions and boils and all this stuff. But the main thing was, is that leprosy was so contagious that this was basically a death sentence for King Uzziah. He went from the top dog, he went from king, and in a second, he became an outcast. See, people with leprosy couldn't stay in the normal town with normal people because they were so contagious. A lot of times they had their own little place that they would huddle together, and he became an outcast. See, God gave King Uzziah leprosy to remove him from the throne. See, God wanted somebody that was going to follow what God wanted. He didn't want somebody to start making selfish decisions for Judah. See, and it's kind of funny because God is showing how gracious he actually is. Even in the Old Testament, you know, like a lot of times whenever a king or whenever somebody would mess up, the entire nation would be punished. But God only punished one person. And so in verse 20, we see Azariah and the high priest and all the other priests saw the leprosy. They rushed him out, and the king himself was eager to get out because the Lord had struck him. So King Uzziah had leprosy until the day that he died. He lived in isolation in a separate house, for he was excluded from the temple of the Lord. His son Jotham was put in charge of the royal palace, and he governed the people of the land. Okay, so for my note takers in the room, okay, here's point number one. And if you're not taking notes, man, I encourage you, whip out your phone, jot something down, because note takers grow, and we all want to grow in our faith. Amen? Okay, so here we go. Here's point number one. Staying in your lane requires you to be yourself and no one else. Living a life of sacrifice and humility to God requires you to be yourself and no one else. See, we saw here in the small passage of Scripture that King Uzziah, who for the most part was pleasing to God, and God blessed him abundantly, gave him power and wealth and fame. Man, God blessed him, but he didn't stay in his lane. He let pride creep in, and he started to do what he wanted to do. He thought he was good enough to be a high priest, and he tried to be somebody that he wasn't. See, if King Uzziah would have just continued to be the amazing king that God had called him to be this amazing military mind, to go out and to win wars and to do all this stuff, King Uzziah would have never died a leper or an outcast. He tried to be somebody that he wasn't. And something small as him just lighting an incense and letting his pride creep in costed him God's favor over his reign. God gave him an abundance of power and everything else, but he gave him everything that he needed, and he let all of that go to his head, and he stepped out of his lane. And so I've got a kind of like a funny story, so I need you guys to like hold on with me because this story is a little crazy, okay? I need you guys to picture a wooden fence, okay? Like the backside of a wooden fence, okay? You know how there's like the 2x4 at the bottom, there's one in the middle, and there's one on the top, right? Is everybody with me? Okay, I promise we're going somewhere. Okay, so me and my brother one day thought that it was an amazing idea that we were just going to climb around the perimeter of our fence on top of that little middle 2x4, okay? I was like 6, he was like 9. As you can tell, our imaginations were thriving, okay? But the difference was is that on this specific, like, fence thing that we had, we also had a little chain link fence under the wooden fence. So it went like wooden fence, and then chain link fence. So what me and my brother did is we crawled on top of the chain link fence, and then we just started shimmying like 30 feet, and then we realized, man, this is a terrible idea. What are we even doing? And so my brother, being the cool, like, 9-year-old kid that he was, he turned around and leapt off the fence, stuck the landing, and I was like, man, that was cool. In that moment, I was like, I'm not going to let my older brother show me up. So I'm on the fence, and I'm like, I'm going to do this better than he did. And so I turn around, and I'm like, literally, like, jumping off the fence. And I kid you not, the last little shoelace on my shoe got caught on the chain link fence, and I fell on my face, and I broke my wrist. That was my first ever broken bone. That's a true story. My parents are right there. My first ever broken bone at 6 years old. But here's the thing. I tried to be like my brother, and I let my pride creep in, and I said, I'm going to do this better than him, and I got humbled. Knowing me, I'm not really that athletic, okay? I should have just shimmied my way back to safety. But because I tried to be like somebody else, I hurt myself. See, God calls us to be exactly who he created us to be. He doesn't call us to envy others. He doesn't call us to be prideful and to do more that we can handle or try to be somebody else that we're not. He calls us to be exactly who we are. And here's a few things that you can do right now to be yourself and nobody else, okay? Number one is this: exercise your gifts. Exercise your gifts. See, God has equipped each and every single person with a special ability to be able to, I don't know, maybe some of you guys can teach. Maybe you guys are musically inclined. Maybe some of you guys are just amazing artists. Man, whatever you do, use it for God's glory. Sacrifice your gifts for God. Be humble before him. But here's the thing. God didn't create all of us equal, right? God didn't make me look like Channing Tatum. You know what I mean? God didn't create all of us equal. Find what makes you, you. Find your gifts. Find your abilities. Instead of trying to be somebody else, be exactly who God created you to be. And number two, you can simply, sometimes I feel like we just don't do this enough. Sometimes you just need to sit back, take a moment, press pause, and just remind yourself that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God created you in his image, and you are perfectly created, and he knew every hair on your head before you were even born. Man, sometimes we just need to sit back and read his scripture and just know, man, God created me for a reason. Sometimes we just need to press pause and understand that exactly who you are is perfect. You don't have to try to be somebody else. You don't have to let your pride creep in. You don't have to be envious of others. You can be exactly who God calls you to be. And here's the thing. God is going to equip you guys for every single moment in your life. Okay, God gives you the ability to be able to go through anything and to do anything. But here's the thing. You have to trust God. And sometimes that's not easy. And so that's why point number two is this. Point number two is this. Staying in your lane requires you to retrain your brain. Staying in your lane requires you to retrain your brain. Okay, I feel like CJ Lucky up here. I'm basically a rapper, okay? Staying in your lane requires you to retrain your brain. Guys, it's so easy for us to think about worldly things and to get caught up in the moment. See, King Uzziah thought that he was above the law because God had blessed him with power and he was the king and he thought he could do anything. And when somebody came, and whenever somebody tried to keep him accountable, whenever somebody tried to check him, he got defensive. He got aggressive. He got angry. We see this in verse 17, 18, and 19, and we're going to read that really fast. Azariah, the high priest, went in after him with 80 other priests of the Lord, all brave men. The Bible specifically says all brave men because they are going to question their king. This guy could snap his fingers and have them killed. They're going to keep him accountable. They confronted King Uzziah and said, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is the work of the priests alone, the descendants of Aaron, who are set apart for this work. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have sinned, and the Lord God will not honor you for this." And in verse 19, Uzziah, who was holding the incense burner, became furious. He got defensive. But as he was standing there, raging against the priest before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy suddenly broke out on his forehead. Guys, Uzziah stepped out of his lane. He let the pride creep in. He let his power go to his head. And because he was thinking how great he is And because he wasn't setting his mind, he didn't retrain his brain to think about things that are holy and good and true, man, he paid the price for it. We see in Philippians 4:8, it says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." Guys, we're supposed to train ourselves to think this way, but here's the thing. Because we're naturally sinners, because there's sin in the world, we don't think that way. We have to retrain our brain. See, King Uzziah didn't retrain his brain, and because of that, it costed him his life. He chose to give in to his pride instead of fixing his thoughts on things that were holy. Guys, the only way to retrain our brains is to walk with Christ daily. You have to have a relationship with Christ to be able to think about things that are holy. And you have to know his word. You have to know who Jesus is. You have to know what he says and able to fight yourself and to fight pride. Man, whenever we give into our temptation or whenever we deliberately choose not to follow God, we're basically saying, "Hey God, I know better than you. My way is better than your way. I don't care what you have to say. I don't care that you created the universe. I don't care that you did anything for me. Man, I got it." God calls us to humble ourselves. He says that the first shall be last in the kingdom of heaven. We have to stay in our lane. We have to walk in humility and sacrifice to the Lord. Our lane isn't even one that worldly people are in. Okay, we can't even compare ourselves to that. Guys, we are walking in a lane, and they're not even in the same city. God calls us to be different. Whenever we're walking in this lane and sacrificing humility, that's something that people who don't know Jesus and don't have a relationship, sometimes they can't even wrap their mind around it. But we're called to be different. And God created us to be in a relationship with him and to be of service to him. But naturally, okay, again, because we're sinful, because we like our flesh, we it's easy to give in to temptation, all those things. Man, that's not what our flesh wants to do. Okay, and that's why our next point, that's why our final point is this. Point number three, staying in your lane requires you to die to yourself. Staying in your lane requires you to die to yourself. Guys, stepping out of our lane, messing up, it's easy to sin, it's easy to follow the world, it's easy to give in to temptation, but it's hard to die to yourself. Guys, we see this in Luke 9:23. It says, and he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Let him deny himself. We see this in Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. I have died with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And then we see in 1 Peter 2:24, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Guys, I can keep going on and on and on and on and on because there's so many amazing examples of us dying to ourselves in the Bible. Okay? God calls us to die to ourselves, and whenever we die in ourselves, we get to live and abide in him. We see that King Uzziah didn't die to himself. We see that in verse 16. And verse 16 says this, "But whenever he had become powerful, he also became proud, which led to his downfall. He sinned against the Lord his God, entering the sanctuary of the Lord's temple and personally burning incense on the incense altar." Here's the one thing that I want us to focus on in verse 16. And I know a lot of us are familiar with this phrase, but here's the thing. Pride always comes before the fall. Pride always comes before the fall. He thought he was more powerful than he was. He thought he could disobey the literal creator of the universe. He thought he could disobey the guy who single-handedly gave him all the fame, the power, the favor, everything. He thought he could disobey God, and this caused him to step out of his lane, and again, he paid the price. And see, the cool thing is some of you guys in this room, you aren't stubborn. And I'm not going to lie, I wish I was like you, okay? Some of you guys, God can be like, "Hey, sport, don't do that." And you're like, "Okay, God." And he just gives you a little pat on the butt, and he's like, "Go get him, tiger." That's some of you guys. With me, it's like banging my head against the wall 20 times, and I'm like, "I probably shouldn't do that." And in that case, God sometimes has to be a varsity offensive lineman named Blake that picks you up, dangles your feet, throws you in the ground, and dives on top of you. And that's how he gets you back in your lane. Guys, but here's the cool part. Because we have Jesus, we don't get disqualified from the race. Because we have Jesus, Jesus picks us up, dusts our shoulders off, and he says, there's the finish line, bro, keep running. But here's the thing, just because we have Jesus doesn't mean we get to run in between the lane or we get to tiptoe the line really close. No, if we're running in our lane, man, we should stay as far away from the line as possible. Man, God calls us to stay in our lane. Guys, because if we live our lives thinking that we're in control, we're going to fall flat on our face every single time. Every single time. So as we kind of wrap up our time together, man, we have to live a life of sacrifice and humility to God. That's the lane that we're supposed to run in. Guys, we have to be ourselves. Guys, you can't try to be somebody else. You can't try to be somebody that God didn't create you to be. You can't be prideful. Man, you have to be exactly who God created you to be. Guys, we have to retrain our brain, okay? Naturally, we think about fleshy things. Man, we have to think, Philippians 4:8, man, things that are true, holy, honorable, worthy. Man, we have to get rid of our selfish desires and think about the things that glorify Jesus. And then lastly, we have to die to ourselves. And that's the whole point of the gospel, amen? Whole point of the gospel is being like, Jesus, I can't do this, bro. I need a savior. You can't do this yourself. We have to sacrifice our lives and live for Christ and the mission that he's called us to. But here's the thing. Here's why you should stay in your lane. Okay, this is kind of a cautionary tale. This is, hey, don't be a King Uzziah, but here's why you should stay in your lane. Guys, whenever we stay in our lane, you're walking in the calling that God has in your life. You're doing exactly what God wants you to do. You're glorifying God. You're spreading the kingdom. You're using your gifts for his ability. You can be exactly who God created you to be, and there's freedom in that. When we're free from thinking about worldly desires, man, we're free to chase after the Lord. We're not held down by sin. We have no chains. Our chains are broken, and we're free to walk in life. And lastly, when we die to ourselves, man, we're free from sin. We're free from death. We're free to walk in the newness of life that Christ gives us, and we know that death has no hold on us, and we have a life in eternity. Amen? So here's the thing, as the band makes their way back up to the stage, man, the sad part about today is that some of you guys haven't started the race yet. The sad part is that there's some people sitting in these seats and they're like, man, am I even in the right city? I don't even know where the race is. Guys, you can't run this race and you can't stay in your lane without having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't know who Jesus is, man, Jesus, he was God in human form, came down from his throne. He lived 33 perfect years, and he climbed up on a cross and died for your sins. And on the third day later, he resurrected. Amen? Here's the thing. He died for you. He wants to have a relationship with you. But man, you got to start running. So if you don't know who Jesus is, man, today we have amazing prayer partners that'll be down here by the side. And man, I encourage you, if you don't know Jesus, man, get up out of your seat and come down to this front because it's your time to start the race. Guys, I'm going to pray for us, then we're going to hop back into a little bit of worship, and then you guys will be dismissed. Man, Father God, thank you for today. God, thank you for who you are. God, thank you for your grace. God, thank you for your mercy on our lives. God, I just pray that as we continue to go through our lives, God, that we can continue running in our lane. God, I pray that we can live a life that's sacrificing to you. God, I pray that we can live a life that's humble. God, and I pray that we can glorify you in everything that we do because you deserve it all. God, thank you for your mercy. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for what you did up on the cross. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together.